Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. Were you in town? Were you down there for Katrina?
I was, yeah. Now, we didn't, you know, in Baton Rouge, we didn't have anything, that any damage, but obviously it was all in New Orleans, and the levees breached, and just the people that came over, you know, were coming west and Baton Rouge and even further to try to get out of it. It was really a mess. I'm wondering if they're gonna. They had the contraband, you know, the flow where they took the interstates and they shut them one way where you could only get out because I mean who's going to be coming in, you know? So you know, I wonder if they may get some of that. I don't know the details of how many people have evacuated New Orleans. All of those parishes, we call them parishes, and not it's the county rather than counties, which everybody else does. It's Louisiana for you. But a lot of them have been evacuated. Again, certainly in the Orleans area that, you know, I would imagine that they're going to try to do something to get those folks out as best that they can.
We were talking speed the other day and in specific running backs, and somehow I got on to talking about Emmitt Smith. Emmitt always looks like he's scooting, but he's always seemingly pulling away. He had an incredible Hall of Fame career. But you said, and you said, I'll explain this on the show, you said, Bill, it wasn't the sprinting part or the 40 time, it was the three-cone drill, right?
Yeah, and you know, for running backs, as a whole, the 40-yard times are not really that important. I mean, if you got it, it's great, because usually the guys that run great 40s also run great 10s. You know, usually if you're off to a slow start, you're not going to run a real good 40. So there's a correlative effect there. But it's the burst. What Emmitt did in particular, he did skate. I mean, he did slide and slither through the hole, but Emmitt was as fast as anybody to and through the hole. I mean, he got through the hole and into the second level as quick as anybody. Now, after that, it wasn't great speed, so he wasn't going to get a lot of yards unless it was you're facing nine-man fronts and you bust the hole and then, you know, there's nobody there. Then he'll get some yards, but people were going to run him down. That's not what he was. He was a guy that got through the hole. He was special at getting, you know, the 8, 10, 12 yards and busting through. But that's really the key. The drill that's most useful, it's more useful than the 40-yard time on just about anybody, quite frankly. But for running backs, it's the three-cone drill and the short shuttle. Those things are really indicative of body control, balance, change of direction, and that's what football speed is and football quickness. And he had that, you know, so good. And you know, he never, you know, he did a nice job of avoiding tackles, and he did a nice job of getting good after contact yards. So I always look at, you know, a couple of things that I always looked at on film when looking at guys is yards after contact, okay, and then the yards in avoidance yards, what we call. So the ability to make people miss. Great backs make people miss. You know, you can be, people always ask me, well, what's more important, the offensive line or the running back? Well, they're both important. If you're weak in one, it's going to affect the other. But the great back trumps the great offensive line, because the great back is going to make somebody miss. A great offensive line will give you a chance to be successful, but the great back is going to make somebody miss. Look for any long run, and there are two things that are always going to happen on every play. The back made at least one defender miss, because you're going to have to make an unblocked defender miss, and you're going to see a good block by a wide receiver. That is something that is going to take place on every long run that you see. So, but even with the not the long runs, but the sustained big plays where you get the 6, 8, 10 yards. It's the ability to make people miss, and the good backs, but that are not special, they'll get what's there. But you know, they're not going to make people miss, and they're not going to be special. That's why elite running backs are still very valuable. The problem is that there's a lot of backs every year that are good, but you need to get two or three of them to fit to make up, you know, that can do everything. Not many backs can be great downhill guys and then put their foot in the ground and change direction and get the flow of the defense going one way and completely cut back in one full step the other way. So those guys are as valuable as anybody at any position, any time, but not many of those guys can do that. So what you have is four type of backs. You have the downhill power back. You've got the speed out the perimeter back. You've got the utility back that can do a lot of things, and you've got your third down back. So you've got, in a lot of cases, the reason why they say, well, the backs have been devalued. Well, the backs are not devalued. It's just that they've got more of them that could do some things, but not all things. But the great backs, they're really good. Alvin Kamara, he's worth everything. Zeke Elliott, he's worth, you take him top five, and, you know, he's special. The special guys are really good. Emmett was as special as anybody. I coached against Emmett. That was the day of trying to defend that rascal was absolutely something. And you're right. He skated. You got to the gap, and if you missed in any way, gave him an edge, he was through that hole like life.
Karen wants to know if you've had a chance to look at his son, Emmett's son, E.J. Smith, out of Dallas. He's got a bunch of big-name offers. I really haven't looked at him yet, so I was just...
I have not seen him, and so I will... I am aware of him, but I have not seen him. But I definitely will, and certainly look forward to do it and talking about him. It's getting that time where I've been seeing a lot of players that I scouted, their sons. When I start seeing their grandchildren, I'm going away.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man.
No, but I haven't, Karen, so I promise you I will. When I do, I would definitely look forward to talking about it.
Georgia Dog says, ask Chris. There was an article, he says, on Saturday Down South that says Jake Fromm is the most NFL-ready quarterback to come out since Andrew Luck. Is that stretching it a little bit?
Yeah, no, here's what he is. He is very cerebral, and he makes good decisions, and I think he's going to be a good player at the next level. I really do. But Andrew had more things going for him. Andrew, if I were to compare him in terms of season, you know, Andrew was better. But the comment was the best since, not as good as.
Right.
No, I would not say that yet, and it's very difficult. Unless guys like that turn around and start to spend 4 years in college, they're not going to be as seasoned as any of the really good ones because there's not enough reps. We used to like 30 starts from a quarterback. Nobody has 30 starts anymore, so... No, I would not agree with that at all. I think that there have been some good ones that would probably be. But I do think Jake is very good, and I think will be a very good pro because I think he'll be a good decision maker. And he's got the requisite skills to make the throws the throws that you're going to need to make on the route tree in the NFL.
Well, and the other thing is he – doesn't seem to an enormous type moment. For example, he's a true freshman starting at Notre Dame, and it looked like he'd been out there for 3 years, the way he just handled everything, obviously right. All the way to a national championship game. Seems like every moment, those big moments don't affect him at all.
No, and that's what I really love about him, and that's why I think he's going to be good. He's a flatliner. I mean, things don't bother him. And listen, that is really important. That's what I liked and I still like about, you know, the kid that came out of USC, Sam Darnold. Now he made a bunch of mistakes on a team that wasn't very good, but he never let it get him down. It never let him rattle him. And that's more difficult because Jake has played well in big moments. He's also been on a really good team, and he's not had a lot of adversity. I mean, I know they've come close and they've not won, but, you know, it's not like he's made mistake after mistake after mistake in crucial moments where he's gun-shy. So he hasn't really had the what we call the failure quotient yet, where he's got to come back from that. as much as maybe some, but no, I think he's special. I think from the neck up he's special, and I think he's really talented. In fact, I think that to me, as he continues to progress this year, I think that he could be a very high pick, and I think he's going to be very highly regarded. In fact, I know he is.
Chris, can you stay a little bit on the other side?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, will stay with us for a few minutes. We'll get the break here at Bongo Java inside the lovely Omni Nashville Hotel.
A collision on 24 westbound between Murfreesboro Pike and the I-40 split in South Nashville. Still clearing that wreck at the MAPCO Mart on Old Hickory Boulevard in West Nashville. And the Briley Parkway collision on the west on-ramp to Gallatin Pike in Madison. I-65 may have its wreckage cleared, but it's still very slow from Dickerson Pike all the way to the North Loop. Hungry for authentic Nashville hot chicken? Download the Prince's Hot Chicken app and get $2 off your next order. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For July, try any wrap, hot or cold, with chips and drink at the special price of only $6.99. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. He knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
And we're at Bongo Java, Omni. Kenneth is here, brought some samples. We'll talk to him here in a little bit, too. SoulStreetCoffee.com, his site. Chris Landry, Landry Football. We will let you know how you can subscribe to all his information. Chris got a few questions here on Twitter. Eric up in Indy says, ask Chris about his thoughts on Texas and Nebraska. He says, it sure sounds like they're getting a lot of hype. Is it worth it? Is it worthy?
Well, the hype comes from, big game. I thought Texas got better at the end of last year, and obviously the big bowl game win gets everybody hyped up. I think Texas is getting better. I'm seeing it in recruiting. I think the quarterback's tough. He's a leader. And, I think that the defense, you know, you've got some teams. Gary Patterson plays good defense, and Iowa State plays good defense schematically. But Texas is starting to play the best defense in terms of scheme combined with really good talent in the league. And I think that helps them. And maybe we'll see help them creep up further and further on Oklahoma. Am I ready to say that they're going to take over Oklahoma yet? I kind of look at the Texas and Michigan kind of in the same way, and maybe more so with Michigan. They've got to prove it to me that they can beat Ohio State. Ohio State's still more overall a little bit more talented. Oklahoma is still a little more talented than Texas, but it's really the offense. And in an offensive league, can Texas stop enough people and score enough points to be able to win in that league? So I think Texas will be good. Am I thinking that that's the team that's going to win the Big 12? It's possible, but I still would favor Oklahoma. Nebraska, I think, is getting better as well. It's in the second year, a little early. I'm not ready to buy them that's the team yet. I think in the West, I like Iowa. I think Iowa's really good. I think Minnesota's going to be a little better. I think Nebraska's going to be in the fight. I think there's a lot of people that think, hey, the West is for Nebraska, and people are chasing Nebraska. That's not true. Nebraska's in a fight with everyone else, and they'll have an equal shot. But I would probably make Iowa and Nebraska the favorite in the West, at least from a roster standpoint going in. The quarterback's good. Wendell Moore is going to be, the young freshman from Nebraska that's coming in is going to be the next Rondell Moore. I think he's going to be a big time playmaker for them, and maybe can really spark their passing game, and maybe be that team to beat. But I look at Nebraska as a contender in the West, maybe co favorites with Iowa, but I don't think that they're a top 10 type team at this point.
Danny in New York City says, Chris, with Michigan's offense supposedly changing with Josh Gattis coming in, quote, speed in space, how do you think they adapt? Now, when I look at them, Chris, I think about, say, Patterson, obviously, but that receiving core, when we think about receiving cores, we think Alabama, Clemson, those two are at times spectacular receiving core, and that's plural. But I tell you what, that group that Michigan's got of receivers with length and ability, this ought to be a big year for them.
It should be. I had something on LandryFootball.com recently talking about the receiving corps. And in the notebooks every day, I kind of throw a lot of film room nuggets. And I mentioned just that. I think Michigan's receiving corps is one of the best in the country. I think they're long, they're athletic, they've got ability to make plays. And listen, we can talk about it, and I've said this before. I think, you know, in answering a question from one of the listeners several weeks ago, I was asked, what's the most intriguing thing I'm looking forward to watching, specifically this college season? Of course, there's, you know, 100 come to mind, but at the top is, what's this Michigan offense going to look like, and how long is it going to look like that? How will they be? I looked at the practice tape this spring. I saw what they worked on. I know what they want to do. I also know what Jim Harbaugh likes to do. So are they going to stay committed to it? Or are they going to have success early? If they have success early, you know, it'll certainly buoy that confidence. It's just, I think, fits Shea Patterson. It fits the receivers. I think it opens up things. But how much tempo are they going to use? How much is that going to hurt their defense? If they turn the football over, will Jim get a little reclusive and want to go back and do something different? I have no idea where this is going. I know where it's going to start. I think what I think they want to do, and I think personnel-wise, they're getting closer. They're really, really good. But, you know, I need to see it, and I need to see it develop. Look, I expect Michigan to be in the same boat that they were last year. They're going to run early, and they're going to win a lot of games. They may be undefeated going into November. I think that Wisconsin on the road is going to be a challenge. I think Iowa in October is going to be a challenge. I like their chances at Penn State. I think they could be Notre Dame. I think they could be unbeaten going into the Michigan State game, potentially. And all the hype's going to be there. Hey, boy, this Michigan's really good. We saw it last year. and we saw it collapse at the end of last year. And it collapsed because the offense couldn't do anything, and the defense, which was really good for most of the season, got worn down, and they got exploited. We need to see Michigan take that next step. It's possible. I'm curious to watch it, but like everybody else, I don't have the magic answer of what it's going to be because I need to see it. It hadn't happened yet.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your information.